A pastor from San Jose, California, recounted this story of a remorseful parishioner. A couple of weeks after hearing a sermon in which the pastor focused on God knowing our hidden sins and demolishing those who love falsehood over honesty, this man wrote a remorseful letter to the IRS. He said, "I have been unable to sleep these past 2 weeks with the knowledge that I have cheated on my income tax by understating my taxable income. Therefore, I have enclosed a check in the amount of $150. He concluded the letter, perhaps unwisely, with this postscript: "If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest." Well, it's hard to know whether we should applaud, condemn, or simply laugh at this man whose conscience led him to make at least partial reparation. It's easy to imagine that Peter had a sleepless night or two after his cowardly and vigorous triple denial of even knowing who Jesus was. How he must have wished that he could undo some of that damage. There are those who speak of what Jesus offers Peter in this passage as a kind of rehabilitation. If so, it entails a couple of other R's too: repentance and reparation. Peter's contrition and repentance are important, but yet not enough. In the Catholic tradition of reconciliation or confession, sorrow for sins has always been a prerequisite for absolution, along with the intent of amendment. Many confessors have replaced three Our Fathers and three Hail Marys with asking for acts of mercy as a sign of true repentance. In fact, anyone who has come to me for confession knows that I usually ask the person to do an act of kindness for someone. The notion of restitution or reparation has always been a key part of this sacrament. If the penitent can undo some of the harm, that, of course, is often noted as part of the sacrament's promise of reconciliation. The reparation Jesus requires in today's story is not meant to replace something taken away from Jesus, but it's meant to make up for something lacking in Peter. In traditional 12-step programs, steps 8 and 9 suggest reparation, that is, an awareness of the damage done and the need to make amends, that's number 8, and then the actual restitution, that's number 9. For example, repaying the value of something stolen. Before his encounter with the risen Lord, Peter most likely felt that he would go to his grave without being able to make things right with Jesus face to face. The step of restitution or reparation is not designed for people to explain or justify themselves, but to acknowledge the damage done and the need to repair it. Even if the wounded parties want nothing for themselves, as is the case with Jesus here, the offender must still take this step. Peter's rehabilitation through acts of love is not intended to make him feel better about himself. It's meant to free him for loving service to others. Henry Ward Beecher once remarked, "God pardons like a mother who kisses the offense into everlasting forgetfulness." What a wonderful concept. Kisses into everlasting forgetfulness. Even though Mother's Day is a week away, that's a wonderful image of the forgiveness that Jesus offers to us in the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. He kisses our offenses into forgetfulness. The threefold question posed by Jesus does have a kind of maternal tenderness. Jesus could have been much harsher with Peter, but he did not offer a recrimination. By asking three times, Jesus simply allows Peter to completely erase his shame and get on with the task Jesus assigns him. And that's what God does with us in the sacrament of reconciliation, penance, confession. Peter's reparation, a life of service to others and a martyr's death, as it turns out, is only the beginning. And that's what Jesus does for us in the sacrament of reconciliation or confession, a chance to start all over again. So it's like a new beginning for us. Everything past is erased, completely erased. This is why I have a difficult time with people who are afraid to come to the sacrament of reconciliation. It's a wonderful feeling to know that you are completely, and I mean completely, clean. Now, who doesn't want that feeling? Jesus comes to us now in this Eucharist to forgive us and to feed us so that we, like Peter, can be rehabilitated, as it were, to undertake the mission to which we are called by our baptism. And that mission is to extend God's love to all we meet.